Okay, good afternoon. It's 5 p.m. Tuesday, January the 11th, 2022. And we will start our meeting agenda. We start our meeting with an invocation and a pledge. I'll lead the invocation this evening, and the pledge will be led by Councilmember Fontaine. Join us if you'd like. Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you for the blessings that you've given us. We thank you for the city and the citizens that reside here. And Father, we just pray that you'd be with all of us as we start this new year, that we'd be mindful of those that have that we've lost recently. We pray that you'd be with their families in this time of grief, that you would comfort them. And Father, we just pray for your guidance tonight as we go about the city's business. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Let us pay honor to the greatest nation in the world.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Honor the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to thee, Texas, one state, under God, one and indivisible.
Okay, the third item on the agenda is the roll call. Spencer H. Smith, Mayor, is present. Jennifer McCann, Mayor Pro Tem, has an excused absence. Michael Blomquist, Place 2.
Michael Blomquist, Councilman, Place 2, is present.
Okay, thank you. Jacqueline Soriano Fontaine, Place 3.
This is Jacqueline Soriano Fontaine, Place 3, present.
Okay, thank you. Linda Nash, Place 4, has an excused absence. Sam Hallaby, Place 5.
Sam Hallaby, Place 5, present.
Okay, thank you. City Manager David Mitchell.
City Manager David Mitchell, present.
Okay, thank you. City Secretary Julie Helsham.
City Secretary Julie Helsham, present.
Okay, thank you. And we do have a quorum. Item number 4, mayoral proclamations and presentations. Number 1, proclamation declaring Harker Heights Fire Chief Paul Sims a bright star of Central Texas. Up here or down there?
Up here, please.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Speak loud, I'm not wired.
Yes, sir.
Cheesy. Good. Our Christ proclamation. Whereas Fire Chief / EMC Paul Sims has been awarded the Chief Fire Officer CFO designation from the Commission on Professional Credentialing, CPC, and whereas the designation program is a voluntary program designed to recognize individuals who demonstrate their excellence in 7 measured components, including experience, education, professional development, professional contributions, association membership, community involvement, and technical competence, in addition to identifying a future professional development plan. And whereas the CFO designation program uses a comprehensive peer review model to evaluate candidates, and whereas the Commission on Professional Credentialing awards the designation only after an individual successfully meets all the organization's criteria. And whereas maintaining the designation requires recipients to show continued growth in the areas of professional development, professional contributions, active association membership, and community involvement, as well as adhere to a strict code of professional conduct. And whereas Fire Chief / EMC Paul Sims becomes one of only 1,594 CFO designees worldwide, and achieving this designation signifies Sims' commitment to his career in the fire and emergency services. Now, therefore, I, Spencer H. Smith, Mayor of the City of Harker Heights, declare Fire Chief / EMC Paul Sims to be a bright star of Central Texas. In testimony whereof, I sign this proclamation and affix the seal of the City of Harker Heights this 11th day of January, 2022, signed, Spencer H. Smith, Mayor.
Woo-hoo!
big surprise that I saw that when I saw the paperwork come out for the meeting. I was like, wow, that's a big deal. So I appreciate your efforts. I appreciate Jerry's support and all this. So, and certainly my wife, she's put up with me for a lot of years. So thank you. Good to have a good show.
Can we open this up here?
Yeah, please.
One, two, and three.
Okay.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Okay, moving on to item number five, consent items. Number one, discuss and consider approving the minutes of the meeting held on December 14th, 2021. Councilmember Blomquist.
Thank you, Mayor. This is Michael Blomquist, Councilman Place 2. I'd like to make a motion to approve the minutes of the meeting held on December 14th, 2021.
Okay, thank you, Councilmember Fontaine.
Thank you, Mayor. This is Jacqueline Soriano Fontaine, Place 3. I would like to second.
Okay, thank you. We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion on the item? Okay, seeing none, I'll poll the council. Jennifer McCann, Mayor Pro Tem, has an excused absence. Michael Blomquist, Place 2, how do you vote?
Michael Blomquist, Councilman Place 2, I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. Jacqueline Soriano Fontaine, Place 3, how do you vote?
This is Jacqueline Soriano Fontaine, Place 3, I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. Linda Nash, Place 4, has an excused absence. Sam Hallaby, Place 5, how do you vote?
Sam Hallaby, Place 5, vote yes.
Okay, thank you. And the motion passes unanimously, 3-0. Next item on the agenda is presentation by citizens. Citizens who desire to address the council on any matter may do so during this item. Please understand that while the council appreciates hearing your comments, state law, Texas Government Code, Section 551.042, prohibits them from, one, engaging in discussion other than providing a statement of specific factual information or reciting existing city policy, and two, taking action other than directing staff to place the matter on a future agenda. Please state your name and address for the record and limit your comments to 3 minutes. Is there anyone in the chambers to make a presentation? Okay, seeing none, we'll move on to item number 7. Paragraph 7, regular business. Number 1, discuss and consider approving a resolution of the City Council of the City of Harker Heights, Texas, awarding a contract for the Rummel Road Lift Station upgrade and 12-inch force main extension project in the amount of $2,469,265 to BlackRock Construction and take the appropriate action. Public Works Director.
Thank you, Mayor. The bidding process began with the city advertising for bids for the Rummel Road Lift Station upgrade and 12-inch force main extension project on November 21st and November 28th, 2021. We had a total of 30 bid packets were distributed to general contractors or plan rooms. So, 8 of those were plan rooms and 22 were construction companies. On January 5th at 2 o'clock, the sealed bids for the project were opened. We had 2 bids that were received and met specifications. BlackRock Construction in the amount of $2,469,265 and Bell Contractors with a bid of $2,530,098.11. So this project includes upgrading the existing Rummel Road lift station from 800 gallons a minute to 1,300 gallons a minute pumping capacity with variable frequency drive pumps. Basically what those are, they ramp up and down with the flow. As the flow increases, the pumps pump more. So they try to maintain a certain level. The VFD drive pumps and construction of 8,034 linear feet of 12-inch force main. So this extension would start at the city drop site recycling center and then all the way to Wildwood Drive. We have a big gravity main there at Wildwood Drive. The project provides sanitary sewer capacity for additional development along the east side of the city. And the Rummel Road project is budgeted from the American Rescue Plan Act funding. Got a couple slides for you here. There we go. So this is the sanitary sewer service area in green. And you can see the Rummel lift station is here on the far east side of the city. All of this sewer flows through this gravity network into the lift station, then it's pumped up here. We have a manhole at the city drop site currently at this location, and it goes down to Fawn Valley and then it pumps to a larger lift station. So this project would extend it all the way to Wildwood. I have another slide that shows you that here in a little bit. This is our impact fee area that we're working on, coming up with an impact fee. With this bid tonight, we've plugged that into our formula, and the new impact fee will be $6,133, and that's for a 3/4-inch water meter. So the engineer is using water meter size for service unit equivalents. So a residential water meter would be one service unit, basically, at $6,133. So if you went to a 1-inch meter, you would multiply 1.6 times this $6,133. It would give you about $9,000 of an impact fee, and then so forth, carries you through the 8-inch there. And about probably 95% of this area in green will be residential. So the builders will be looking at that $6,133 fee, and we plan to take that to the P&Z again tomorrow. They approved it once at $6,100. We had a math error on the calculation, and now with this bid, we would like to take it back tomorrow for their approval again with the $6,133, and then we'll bring it to the City Council. I'm missing a slide there somewhere. Sorry. I had a location slide in there that didn't show up, but basically the force main extension. So we'll do the pumps. Basically, we'll be pulling out the old pumps and installing some new pumps here. Some electrical will be going in there, bigger electrical panels. And then here we'll be extending the force main to Wildwood, from the drop site to Wildwood along 2410, from a 10-inch to a 12-inch diameter. And I did put on everyone's chair, I have references for Black Rock Construction. These they are a new contractor for the city, and our engineer did call several references. He did call on four and got very favorable references from them. As you can see, they do very large projects, so they certainly have the manpower and equipment for this project. Public Works recommends approving a resolution awarding a contract for the Rummel Road Lift Station upgrade and 12-inch force main extension project in the amount of $2,469,265 to Black Rock Construction. And I'll be glad to answer any questions for you.
Okay, thank you. Councilmember Blomquist.
Thank you, Mayor. This is Michael Blomquist, Councilman Place 2. Mr. Hyde, I had two questions for you. You mentioned that there was 30 bid packets that were picked up, I guess, for solicitation for this project. Two of those did meet specifications. How many actually did you receive then? Were there any additional ones that just didn't meet?
Just the two, yes.
Just the two? Okay. Mm-hmm. The next agenda item we're going to talk about is the potential move of the drop site and the potential for building the fire station number 3 at the drop site. Will these improvements that we're putting in here adequately meet the growth needs for a fire station number 3 if it goes in this location?
Oh, yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir. That's not a problem.
All right. Thank you.
Councilmember Fontaine.
Thank you, Mayor. This is Jacqueline Soriano Fontaine, place three. Mark, on the size of the pipe, is that gonna, that it went to, you said it was 10 inches or 12 inches?
So the current force main we have in place from the Rummel lift station up to the drop site is a 10-inch diameter. And because we're upgrading these pumps, they're pumping more, we're crowding more water in the pipe. The engineer had to upsize the pipe from the drop site the rest of the way to a 12-inch to reduce that friction loss. So as the water moves through the pipe, it's rubbing on the walls. A bigger pipe has less friction loss, and so that's why we're going to a 12-inch there.
And that's going to accommodate the new houses that we put up in the next subdivision?
Yes, ma'am. Everything you see in this green area to the east, basically east of Warriors Path. This is Warriors Path. So everything along 2410 north and south, all the way up to Rummel. Rummel Road is right here. That lift station will accommodate all of that growth.
Thank you.
Okay, any other questions from the council? Just one thing is, Mayor Smith, just to make a clarification on what you talked about, the $6,133. Okay, so that only applies to what you're depicting there as far as doing the impact fees, correct?
Correct.
Okay. And again, you said that will go to P&Z tomorrow night?
Tomorrow night, yes.
Okay, good. Thank you. Okay, any other questions from the council? Okay, it's regular business. Councilmember Fontaine.
Thank you, Mayor. This is Jacqueline Soriano Fontaine, place three, and I would like to move to approve the resolution awarding a contract for the Rummel Road lift station upgrade and 12-inch force main extension project in the amount of $2,469,265 to Black Rock Construction.
Okay, thank you. Councilmember Hallaby.
Sam Hallaby, place five, second.
Okay, thank you. We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion on the item? Okay, hearing none, I'll poll the council. Jennifer McCann, Mayor Pro Tem, has an excused absence. Michael Blomquist, place two. How do you vote?
Michael Blomquist, Councilman, place two. I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. Jacqueline Soriano Fontaine, place three. How do you vote?
This is Jacqueline Soriano Fontaine, place three. I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. Linda Nash, place four, has an excused absence. Sam Hallaby, place five. How do you vote?
Sam Hallaby, place five. Vote yes.
Okay, thank you. And the motion passes unanimously 3-0. Next item under regular business, item number two, and again, there'll be no action on this this item. Receive and discuss a presentation regarding relocating the city drop site and recycling center to the Public Works and Parks and Recreation Yard at Amy Lane slant East Cathy Road. Future uses of the Public Works and Parks and Recreation Yard, and discuss proposed uses for the existing drop site and recycling center property along FM 2410. Public Works Director.
Thank you, Mayor. So our drop site is located at 1761 FM 2410, and we have 4.62 acres that we use. You can see it there in purple. And the drop site is located basically from between Indian Trail and Comanche Gap Road. This is Comanche Gap Road, it's 2410. This is Granite Trail, and then that's the Ruiz Mobile Home Park that abuts Warriors Path. And as you can see on the slide, we don't actually use all of the 4.5 acres. There's a bit, kind of a steep hill here. We don't use that for very much. The recycling is usually right in this area. We have some drop site bulky item bins here and here. We have the scrap tires here, and then back here is where the brush pile is. And so we feel that we could utilize some property over at Amy Lane and Cathy Lane, city property that we own, we purchased within the last few years. So this is our Public Works campus here. This is the street, water, drainage, sanitation, and also the Parks Department are housed in here. And you can see the equipment parked out here. We have some equipment here. This is the Kern Ball Field. I don't know if, Jeff, if we still use that for practice or not, but it is there. We also acquired, this is the old Rocket Furniture Manufacturing property we acquired a few years ago and basically scraped off what was left. And we feel that 2.46 acres there would be suitable to put the drop site on. It would front on Amy Lane. And we could do all of our activities that we're doing on FM 2410 at this location. And the idea is to someday have this as a central campus for Public Works and Parks and Recreation and our fleet maintenance. Currently, our fleet maintenance is off VMB and Mary Jo, and we'd like to move all of those divisions under one area. And it makes sense to have the drop site here. It would be a lot easier to supervise and man and just, you know, keep an eye on things day to day. So that's the general idea. This is a little mobile home park here next to us, Landmark Oak. And then below, this is Pleasant View Mobile Home Park below us. I'd be glad to answer any questions for you.
Okay, Council. Councilmember Fontaine.
Thank you, Mayor. This is Jacqueline Soriano Fontaine, Place 3. Mark, are we going to build a facility for the staff that's out there?
Yes, ma'am. We do have a we have been working on a facilities master plan for that. We have half an associate's architects have started work on it. Actually, within the last year and a half, I think, we've worked on it on and off. But yes, that is the plan, is to come up with a building or buildings that would house the Public Works, Parks personnel that needed to be there, as well as the Fleet Maintenance Department.
I was basically talking about our turn-ins where they work. You know how we just have that little hut right over there? Are we going to have a better facility for them to work
out?
We
would. In that,
what restroom and
in
all that
plan,
good stuff?
What we'll do is we'll have our engineer or architect come up with a pavement plan, a building that has running water, you know, bathroom facilities, and it'll be nice. It'll be permanent. The reason we've been hesitant to do anything at the 2410 site is this is a prime location for fire station number 3. And we felt that we'd be just throwing money away if we did a lot of permanent improvements here and then just, you know, demolish them later for the fire station.
Well, as long as you take care of them, I'm good.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
Councilmember Blomquist.
Thank you, Mayor. This is Michael Blomquist, Councilman Place 2. Mark, my one concern with moving it to the other site is if you know, this site right now we have on 2410 is very busy when the drop site is open, and there's a lot of traffic, a lot of trailers, people coming in. You know, we this year especially we had to keep it open for additional periods of time for the amount of usage we were getting. So we got to make sure we look at if it goes to over there off Amy Lane, that we have adequate turn lanes, because it's gonna, you know, you got two mobile home parks there that, you know, there's a lot of, I'm sure there's a lot of kids in those areas too, that we need to be concerned about making sure that it's going to be safe if we put it over there with all the additional traffic, because that is a heavy, you know, those three times a week that it's open and then the city uses it, you know, on those other days, we're going to put a lot of traffic there. So
yes, sir.
That's something we need to take a look at.
Okay. Anything else from the council? Councilmember Hallaby.
Sam Hallaby, Place 5. I share some concern with Michael, but Michael, you know, at 2410, it's really, really, as you said, very busy area. I think will be much easier for people to use that the new area, because that will take a lot of impact on 2410. you know, because it's so much traffic. You know, like even this morning, I mean, there is a guy, he was turning in, and all of a sudden he slowed down, almost the guy behind me. He wasn't paying attention. He almost got on my back. So, but I think, you know, it's way much better idea to have it somewhere else than that 2410 location.
I agree. It will have a, you know, you have a plus minus effect there. You know, it's going to be much better for 2410 in that area. Traffic will be better. People from Comanche Gap Road there will be able to get out easier. The traffic going down to our school there, down Warriors Path, will be a little bit easier too for them to get out. So it will ease the congestion on 2410, but you know, we're going to put it on another part of the city. So we just need to make sure we take a look at that to make sure, you know, there's a cost benefit there for where we do and make sure we're safe no matter where it is. So, but I agree with you, Sam.
Absolutely.
Okay. Anything else? Anything else? Samir, I've got a question. The mobile home park that's between Amy and East Cathy, that most of those trailers have been moved off there. Do we have any idea what the intent is for the owner of that property?
Yes, I have heard that he has a family living there. I think his brother is the park manager, and they do have some tenants that aren't family, maybe one or two. I think there's maybe two or three trailers left, and the rest have been removed.
Right.
And that's the extent I have heard that he wants to just keep it, what he has in place, open just for the family members.
Yeah. I think it'd be interesting going forward to keep that dialogue with them, just because of what it would do as far as, you know, contiguous properties being up there. So the other thing is when we look at as far as the third fire station, as far as the impact on the residents by having a fire station that's that much closer to them, that they'll have an effect on the insurance rates that they have. Is that true?
It should. I've got Chief Sims here tonight. He can probably speak better to that. I know right now I believe we're a three. I think that was the most recent report that came out. And I know one time before, and I don't know under the new matrix, but before it was mentioned that if we had a fire station appropriately spaced, that we potentially could go to a one. But I'll let Chief Sims talk a little bit about that.
Police Chief, thank you.
Yes, sir, Mayor, that is correct. It would have an impact on those insurance ratings for the region that would impact. We were a three. We were regraded last year, and they've come up with a new grading system. We are now known as a 3-3X, and the 3X speaks to those areas. Let me back up. If you're a three, you're within 5 road miles of a fire station and 1,000 feet of a fire hydrant. If you're a 3X, you're within 5 road miles of a fire station and outside 1,000 feet of a fire hydrant. And so that's our latest classification. There is some areas within the city of Harker Heights in that region that Station 3 would cover that could be considered what they call a 10W. And that means that you're within 5 to 7 road miles of a fire station and within 1,000 feet of a fire hydrant. Mm-hmm. So we do have some areas that are outside 5 road miles from Station 2 currently. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah. Well, I think that, I mean, having that that's the way the city's going to grow. And I think as we can look at the affordability of doing that, but again, that we can get ahead of it, we're already looking at infrastructure that's going out that way. But again, if we could have that in place, that's just another benefit. And recently, just what we had down on Dana Peak Park, that we would have had a lot quicker response time if we had a station that was right there.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And it should be noted, too, that once Station 3 gets established and it's in place, we can request a new grade to be evaluated. So, and I believe because of how close certainly we were years ago when we were graded, we lost a few points, if you will, in the overall grade from last time to this time. And a lot of it has to do with the developments that have taken place that you caused some of that stuff to be outside the 5 road miles. Because you guys know better than I that much of that area was undeveloped for many years, and now that it has increased, it causes that adjustment. So, but we can be regraded, and I believe it's very possible we can get to a 1 and certainly a 2. Okay. And that's just better.
Okay. Council, any questions for the chief?
No, sir.
Okay, thank you.
Mayor, while we got the chief up here, yeah, let's discuss a little bit about why this location for the central fire, for Station 3. I know there's been some concerns in the community about the location and making sure we put it in the right location. So you want to speak to that a little bit, chief?
Absolutely. The location for Station 3 has been talked about since long before I came, and I found records back to 2011, and perhaps even further back than that, but that's as far back as I found. And at that time, the city hired a consultant to come in and assist with the identification of a third station location. And at that time, they identified 5 different locations, all of them being along 2410 east of Verna Lee. And the transfer site there was indicated as site A, and we went up to E. And in addition to that, we used our GIS department to do a road map to driving distance from that station, as well as stations 1 and 2, and see what that would look like. And the A version, 3A as we call it, identified as the optimum location for a third fire station from a response standpoint, because we fall under, we try to meet the standard, the NFPA standard, as far as our response times, as well as our staffing. And that location, as I said, in 3A, gave us the optimum coverage for response from fire station. And that location gives us about a 92% coverage from a 3 to 5 minute response time for the city. The other 7-8% is somewhere in about 7 minute response time. So it lessens it quite a bit. And I can give you, for instance, there's some residents that are out in the ridge that perhaps, indicated that, why is a fire station that close by from station 2? Well, from this location, from station 2 to a designated location in the ridge, it's an 8 to 9 minute response time, with things being ideal, as well as it's about 4.9 miles. Mm-hmm. This location is 2 miles from the fire station, right, and 4 minute response time. So as a resident, which would you rather have? Mm-hmm. A longer response time or a shorter response time? So that's again, it goes back to why it was identified as the best location. So, mm-hmm. And again, those 5 locations, and I still have that data. And matter of fact, I was looking at it today, but more than happy to talk about that particular item if you like.
Okay.
Council, I think it's just important to note that this, we brought in a consultant to do it, as well as using our own software that has supported the location of this. And the second thing that Jerry mentioned to me is very true. We own the property.
Right.
We're looking out for our taxpayers in terms of, we could go out and purchase a piece of property later on, which again would cost us all to do that. We already own this piece of property. We need the pressing matter for us is not necessarily Station 3 at this moment. We can't afford to staff it, but it is the transfer site, and it goes to what Councilmember Fontaine was talking about. We want to make sure we build them a nice enough facility. And so if we do that here, I think we're throwing dollars away, because eventually it'll probably be torn out. If we were to move it up to our other campus, which is also land that we own, then we can build a nice facility that has, indoor restroom facilities, climate control, those kind of things for our employees up there, as well as we've learned a lot of lessons on that current site in terms of getting traffic out of the roadway. It's not set up well for that we hope to incorporate in this new site to help trailers and things like that get on up into the site before our employees then engage those trailers, a little bit of room for them to stack in there, so to speak. And then also just doing a good layout and having a good concrete surfaces, so if it rains, our citizens are not in the mud out there and those kind of things. So some safety elements as well. So there's some things. So I think, Council, how this will progress is we would look at doing something along the lines of moving the transfer site well before we're talking about Station 3, and then cleaning up this site and preparing it in a future year when the city's financially able to do that, it would be available to the city to do.
Okay. Thank you. Councilmember Blomquist.
Thank you, Mayor. This is Michael Blomquist, Councilman Place Two. Chief, you mentioned a couple of things that for the ratings, you mentioned a 5 mile radius, kind of like.
It's kind of 5 road miles.
I know. Road miles is, you know, it makes much more sense than just drawing a ring around the fire station, because obviously, as the crow flies, you know, Fire Station Two might be closer to the ridge right now, but you have to drive all the way around the road, which makes it much, much longer than just driving across the big ravine there. So in a future workshop, I would like to see if we could, you know, if the site would go here, where one, Fire Station One, Fire Station Two, then Fire Station Three, where this proposed site may be, what 5 mile means in our city as far as the coverage. So that way we get a better feel of how much of the city is within that 5 mile road mile range of all of our stations. So that way we can get a good snapshot of this is what we can cover. This is what we're short in. You know, maybe we want to look at how can we improve those areas if we need to.
Happy to do so. I would like to, you know, you mentioned those circles, and that's actually how they used to grade
right.
the process, and they changed it because it just made more sense to get the road miles figured
right.
into that. And also, you know, when Station 2 was put into place in 1999, 2000, and it was out there, and it was kind of out there on the island, but because of the development, the density has increased out there. It's increased call volume, and which causes another need for that third fire station
right.
as well.
I mean, there's other things that they do for parks is another example where they say, well, how far are you from the closest city park? You draw a ring around it, it's not right because it's road miles. It's not as the crow flies. You know, the citizens aren't flying to the park. They're having to get in their vehicle to drive to the park. And, you know, especially in areas like where I live, it's a lot farther to get to a park in Harker Heights than it is going over to Killeen, actually, by road miles. So those are things that, you know, we just need to make sure we compare apples to apples when we look at things when they say something as far as mileage and servicing areas. So that way we have a better understanding, so that way we can articulate that back to the citizens, say, this is why we need it here, so we can protect the majority of our citizens and provide those services that everybody likes to have in cities. So thank
sure.
you.
And we have the data that you just mentioned. We have it. So.
Okay. Thank
yeah.
you.
I just think that that we already have a need for that. As we've seen the growth on Warriors Path, we've got a new school in there, we've got all those homes going in there, and not to even mention the other aspect of interlocal agreements that we have with folks as well, because we have to respond to some of those things. Is that true?
That is true. As if I understand you correctly, from a mutual aid standpoint, like
yes.
fire department, yes. So we utilize our neighboring agency, the Killeen Fire Department, and auto and a mutual aid situation, and they use us too. So
right, yeah. Well, this is in the discussion that we have. You know, looking at the cost, and that's one of the things we talk about as far as like for this year that we're at 2.95 with the veterans property tax exemption. You know, we need a third fire station. Those types of monies will help build it, man it, and equip it. And again, that's the folks that live out that are not yet annexed, that are out in our ETJ, they got a real concern. But if they can come into the city, that buys them fire protection, and they don't want to have a $1 million home burned to the ground. So that's one of the things we stress on, you know, when we have limitations on the revenue that we have. It's situations like this as far as public safety that we really have some concerns with it, and that's why we need those dollars, not only for us, but people that are out in our ETJ as well.
Yeah, I would agree with that, Mayor. Even if you discount the ETJ, because that's actually an area that's protected by another fire department per Bell County commissioner's agreement and such, just the area that's within the city, it's outside that. You know, some of those areas are 9-10 minute response times,
right?
And this will limit that.
I believe we had some that were almost 11 minutes, I think, yep. to certain areas down there. And we just talked about earlier about that impact fee area. That's a lot of houses. I think, remember how we talked about, Christina, 500 or so houses, I think, are poised to go into that area relatively quickly because they're already starting to work on platting and things of that nature. They're really waiting on the sewer line to come in. So we're talking about already an area that we struggle response times with, adding even more houses out there. And so I think even, you know, discounting our ETJ, we know that the state has made it very difficult for annexation to occur. But really for us, areas in our city limits, we need it out there right now to service that.
Okay, good. Council, any other questions on that? Okay, anything else? Okay, we're no action on this item, so we'll look forward to discussion as we go forward. Okay, we're still under regular business. We'll go to item number 3, to receive and discuss the city manager's report.
Thank you, Mayor and Council, and I don't believe we have any citizens here tonight, so I'll forego my little lead-in statement on that. Council, on page 2 of the city manager's report, I just want to point out that our assessment balances as of December 31st, you'll note, again, that nothing's been paid on those assessments. They're quite old. I just always like to bring it to your attention, kind of what the status is on that periodically. Going to page 3, you have your code enforcement report. And then moving to page 4, Council, I do want to stop on this page a little bit, the economic development report. Just to note, in the calendar year of 2021, you see the city issued 14 commercial permits, totaling about $14 million, almost $15 million in project valuation for that calendar year. And looking forward to a very strong 22 coming up with the things that we know that are in the pipeline. Also, in terms of residential, you'll see we issued 195 residential permits, 163 of those being single-family permits, and 32 being duplexes. You see there as well, our current estimation is the population of the city is about 34,000.
Wow.
So again, with those other neighborhoods coming in, that'll have big impact on that. We are a growing city. Moving to our fire department, Council, you'll see that the fire department, in conjunction with the Lions Club, fed 81 families with Christmas food baskets and over 200 kids with gifts from Santa from the Santa Pal program. Obviously, kudos to our fire department of doing that annual event. It has a big impact in our community.
Sim started it. Yeah, she did.
Also, congratulations to, and this has been out on social media, Lieutenant Matt Hogan for receiving Firefighter of the Year. Mm-hmm. And then moving to our police department, not to be outdone, Officer Crystal Thomas was selected as a 2021 Police Officer of the Year. So, kudos to both of them. They are both fine individuals and represent the city so well. You see there as well that Michael Stegelmeyer was selected as the 2021 Citizen of the Year Linda Nault Award recipient as well. And then the Community Services Division, with the help from the Harker Heights Rotary Club and Hook Road, donated 38 bicycles to KISD students who attend schools in Harker Heights. So very, very neat program. Thank you to PD for that as well, reaching out and helping our community. Again, it just sort of extends our net of service to our citizens. I want to point out, under Parks and Recreation Council, under special events, our Kid Fish Day was on December 17th, and we had around 50 families attend, and some lucky kids caught some fish there. And we want to thank the Texas Parks and Wildlife for stocking the Carl Evan Pond with over 1,000 rainbow trout prior to the program. And our next Kid Fish Day, if you missed out on that one, will be this Thursday, January 13th, again at the Carl Evan Park Pond, and all ages are welcome, and ages 16 and under do not require a fishing license. Moving down to our athletics council, you'll see that the winter youth soccer registration deadline has been extended to this Thursday, January the 13th, and we are very much looking for volunteer coaches. Also, our fall youth basketball is ongoing until January with over 220 participants. And then our winter adult volleyball registration closes today. Moving to our activity center, I want to point out, Council, a big thank you to everyone who donated items to the activity center coat drive. There were 10 large bags of winter coats, beanies, gloves, scarves, and new socks and new underwear were collected in the past few months and were delivered to the KISD HARP program. So again, another way that the city gives back and assists those in our community in need. Moving to our library, no surprise there, Council, they always just reload with lots of things to do. You'll see there in the city manager's report a book challenge for 2022. Also, they are pleased to announce at the library the return of weekly in-person programs for children. You will see baby time there, as well as information for preschoolers and toddler times. So that's exciting. And also, they're having an It's Everybody's Birthday music time and party that will be for children's ages 6 and younger and their families. That will be held at the library on Saturday, January the 15th at 11 a.m. Council, that concludes my report on, from the city manager's report, but I will point out that there on the dais by your seat, you will find a Fort Hood Fast Facts provided by HOTA. As well as, Council, you do have today a little unusual, a City of Arkwright's resident survey. And this is for you to take home and look over and decide, you know, do we want to change wording in this? This will be the citizen survey we talked about, going out and getting information on how our citizens feel about certain services in the city, as well as getting that information that we talked about during the budget meetings about if we were to offer additional trash services and the costs associated with that, would the citizens still want to have that service? And so next council meeting, we'll have Dr. Tom LaGoria here from Texas State. He'll be the one conducting the survey, and he'll be going into the survey a little more in depth and receiving any information. But we wanted to get this out to you about a week ahead of time, so you could take this, kind of digest it, see what other questions, things. Again, we want to keep it, that when you see it, there may be other questions we might wish we could ask, but if the more you ask, the less you get people to fill it out. So he's learned that. He does the City of Georgetown's and has for a number of years done the City of Georgetown survey. And so they've kind of learned lessons. That's not the only city that they do. They do a lot of cities across Texas. So they've learned the lesson. If you get too wordy, too many questions, you kind of lose your audience at some point. So we have to be a little bit careful on that, but it doesn't mean we couldn't have a question if we wanted to. So wanted to give this to you today and let y'all look over it, and then love to have y'all's input when Dr. LaGoria is here at the next workshop.
Okay. All right.
That concludes my presentation, Mayor. I'd be happy to answer any questions you have.
Okay, any questions from the council? Okay, Council Member Fontaine.
Thank you, Mayor. This is Jacqueline Sodiano Fontaine, Place 3. I don't have no questions, but I have a comment, and I just want to say thank you because it's an all-inclusive report, and as I've been here throughout the years, I've seen it get better and better, and I like the fact that every director is reporting, and so it gives us a really good picture on a week-to-week of what we're doing. And I like the fact that we have our utilities are going automated. Mine's is not automated, so I need to make sure I get mine's automated because it's really important that we have those capabilities. And so I want to say thank you for putting that so it's automated. So what do I have to do as a resident to get my bill automated?
We have the form for you online. You can fill it out, email it to us, drop it in the Dropbox, come by and visit us, or you can come by and visit us. We have the form in the office as well. We'll be happy to take care of you.
Thank you, Finance Director.
You're welcome.
That's all I have, Mayor.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions from the council? Okay. When you talk to the professor, can you just ask, you said Georgetown, has he done San Marcos? I was in San Marcos on Sunday. You'd be interested if he's done San Marcos.
He told us some of the cities. I'll have to ask if he's done San Marcos.
Okay. All right. Good. Okay. Got the city manager's report. Next item is items from the council. Do we have anything from the council member closing statements? Council Member Blomquist.
Thank you, Mayor. This is Michael Blomquist, Councilman Place 2. I just want to say thank you, Aisha. I've been fully automated for the last 2 years, so your folks take care of me really well, and let me know when my credit card changes so I can get it renewed, too. So I am very optimistic, as Mr. Mitchell said, that we're going to have a very, very strong 2022 this year economically across the city of Harker Heights, not only for commercial, but also for residential. So I'm very optimistic in seeing the city grow and growing in the right direction. You know, this focus on keeping Harker Heights the bright star of Central Texas. You know, David, you and the staff are doing an outstanding job keeping us moving forward in the right direction, and I want to see that continue. So kudos, and I'm looking forward to the big announcements coming up soon. And I want to close with, it's just a little bit over 3.5 months until the farmer's market will open again. So thank you.
Okay, good. Okay, Council Member Fontaine.
I don't know, Gary. Gary, you got my pictures from previously?
I don't know. Pictures.
Did I attend it? He didn't? Okay. All right, so I just want to say, first and foremost, thank you, Mayor. This is Councilwoman Jacqueline Sodiano Fontaine, Place 3. I just want to say Happy New Year's to everyone. You guys have been working hard, and this is my stretch.
that's coming too. So I just want to say thank you for all the hard work that you've done in the past years. I know this year is going to continue to look brighter than everything. Michael's favorite coin saying is we're growing smart and want to stay growing smart. So continue to look at our pennies and dollars, and we'll definitely continue with legislation to see what we could do to get some of our revenue back. But in the meantime, we got to take care of what we could control, right? And what we control is here in our city. And so we're doing things smart. So I just want to wish you a happy new year and continue to do smart things and take care of our citizens. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Anything else from the council members? Okay, we'll move on. Updates and comments from the mayor. Well, things have been kind of slow in my hometown. But again, on going back December 15th, Clean Temple Metropolitan Planning Organization. I chaired the Transportation Policy Planning Board meeting, and again, a lot of things coming down the pike. Again, as we look planning for our regional plan to deal with troglobites and the rest of that stuff in the karst. On the 16th, I attended the 1st Army Division West Change of Command. On the 16th, also, I attended the 3 Corps Commander and Mayor's Engagement Luncheon. It was at the Coppers Cove Police Department. They have a really nice facility over there. I'd never been in there before. And then lastly, on January 4th, at Harkwright City Hall, I had a visit by Girl Scout Troop 6119, and we sat down and had a talk with the mayor. And those kids come up with the strangest questions. It's kind of like Art Linkletter, but it's not that bad. But I really enjoy that, you know, as we've seen a lot of the youth that we have is try to celebrate our youth, celebrate the positives that we have, whether the things that they do in arts, academics, athletics, and altruistic activities. Is that's what we need to get that message out, why we are different than other places. And again, to teach our children. So again, just like I was talking to somebody earlier with our municipal courts, that hopefully we can get people that they know how to behave, so we don't have much of a need for a municipal court any longer. So anything else, any save rounds at all? Okay, the time is 5:51 and we're adjourned.